834 of your Bible. Daniel 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belteshazzar. His message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. His body was like chrysolite, his face was like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw this vision. The men with me did not see it. But such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking, and as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, "Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you." When he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come to respond to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. Because I was detained there with the king of Persia, now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future. For the vision concerns a time yet to come." While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face towards the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I am helpless. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe." Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. "Do not be afraid, O man, highly esteemed," he said. "Peace, be strong now, be strong." When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, "Speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Tony. Let me pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that your word may feel like it's beyond our comprehension, Lord. But you are a gracious God, and you slowly reveal things to us. So I pray that you would teach us this morning what this passage means to us today. Amen. My own names. Right. There's a lot to see in it. Daniel's seeing a lot of things here. It reminds us, isn't it, of times where we've maybe watched a film or something, We're watching a film, we're involved in it, and as things unfold, we might get really quite emotional. Things might move us. There's lots of films, aren't there, out there, which probably cause quite an emotional response in us. Has anyone seen any of these? Some big tearjerker. Certainly the start of Up is quite a big tearjerker, I'm told. And The Champ.
Yeah.
Champ, big one. And The Shawshank. It's a guy's favourite, Shawshank. I don't know if the ladies feel the same way. But these films, when you watch them, you get drawn in, you get moved by them. You're affected by them. The same thing happens with sport, isn't it? I mean, you might not quite enjoy this scene so much, John. But this is one of the biggest moments in English sport history. It's Johnny Wilson, the last minute drop goal, 2003. But these things, when you're going through these things, you're watching them unfold and you get drawn in. It's a roller coaster of emotions, isn't it? It's what Daniel here. Daniel's having the fourth and final vision in the book of Daniel. The fourth and final vision. So chapter 10 here introduces what's going to happen. Chapter 11, we're going to go into detail about what that vision was. And chapter 12 is going to conclude it. But what we see from this, don't we? Certainly from this part here, is how much Daniel was affected in this. Both physically, spiritually, and psychologically. This had a huge impact on Daniel as he was just watching these images unfold in front of him. He was deeply, deeply moved because he was just given insight into this great battle that he's watching, both in the physical and the spiritual realm. And this tends to happen in it. When God reveals things to us, certainly in this way it's done with Daniel, it can make us feel very, very small and insignificant. Can anyone pick themselves out from there? Probably can't even see us. Just a speck of dust, aren't we, on this great big globe. And that's just a tiny part of God's big plan. And sometimes it can make us feel like what we experience in our lives is nothing compared to the bigger picture. Not that what we experience isn't a big thing or it's important, but we're just tiny specks in God's creation. In the grand scheme of things, when you look at the physical and the spiritual realms of creation, and we look at and understand visions and dreams like this, it doesn't half make us glad that we're not trying to orchestrate all things, isn't it? It should make us glad that God is God. There's a great film, isn't it, that highlights this. Bruce Almighty. I don't know if anyone's seen this. And Bruce thinks he can do a better job than God. And he finds out the hard way. It's just prayers. It gives us a great idea now how complex the world is, God's creation, how much he actually holds in his hands. And this revelation that Daniel sees gives him a little insight into how complex life is. A great reminder here that revelation, although it's complex and hard to understand, is given to us by God for understanding. This is what it says in the text, isn't it? This revelation, this vision was given to Daniel for understanding. Revelation, it's not about complex codes and secret hidden messages or lost texts that are suddenly found in the last 100 years. None of that rubbish. And there may be symbolism in how God reveals things to us. And we'll see the patterns of those symbols when we go through Revelation. But God's word is sufficient. It is sufficient. That said, no revelation from God is a small thing. And the other prophets found this as well. This is Ezekiel. Look how much he was affected as God was revealing to him the plans he had. He went in bitterness and anger. He was deeply distressed. When our minds are slowly open to how complex the world is, it affects us deeply. And look how Daniel was affected in this. Look at verse 2. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. Down to verse 15. While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face toward the ground and was speechless. Speechless. These things deeply affected Daniel as God slowly revealed things to him. We look at three things from this. We're going to look at the revelation itself, the source of this revelation and the magnitude of it. So let's look at the revelation first. This is the first thing you want to look at. The revelation. What do we mean by revelation? Literally just means God showing something, explaining something, or making something come to light. And we're briefly going to touch more on this next week as we go into the more of the details of what exactly was revealed to Daniel. But clearly what Daniel saw was on an enormous scale. Verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. So at this point, just for chapter 10, we don't know much more about that. As I say, we're going to see that next week. But Daniel was deeply, deeply moved by this. Verse 2 and 3. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lations and at all until 3 weeks were over. All right, come in, sit down. So here he is, deeply moved. What we're seeing here, this picture of this great war that Daniel's seeing has moved him so much that for 3 weeks, he's just let himself go. This is what we're seeing in verse 3. He basically stopped shaving, stopped dressing properly, and has just let himself go. This is the picture, this is the image that we're seeing from this. And we don't know if it's the size of the war or what he saw within this battle, but it was clearly alarming to him. Wasn't it a bit like we saw last week, the remembrance video? The thing about remembrance, isn't it, when we see the videos of actual footage, it reminds us, doesn't it, how brutal war can be. And we can look back with rose-tinted glasses until we actually see the reality of war. So this may be what Daniel is experiencing now. So for Daniel, this revelation, what he was watching, what he was seeing, was difficult for him to watch. Then let's have a look at the source of the revelation. How was this information given to him? Who was giving it to him? And this is where we see this extraordinary scene unfold. Verse 5. I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. It's hard to find a good picture or do this justice, but what God has seen, what Daniel's seen, is it's a manifestation of something divine. And the description here gives this picture of a priestly figure with the tunic and the colours he's wearing. Verse 5, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. This is important. This is the image that's been constructed, been shown to Daniel here. And of course, then we see the full glory of this figure in verse 6. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning. It means he couldn't see any details within that. His face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. The full glory of this person was seen by Daniel. And this fits all sorts of other descriptions we see in the Bible about manifestations of God himself. Ezekiel chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1. All these line up with what Daniel is seeing. Because he's not seeing God himself. God's made that quite clear. Chapter 33, verse 20. No one can see me face to face and live. And so in God's mercy, it's just a manifestation of him. That's what Daniel's seeing. To be in the presence of God is something that we can't achieve or qualify ourselves to do on our own. And so this is clearly a daunting experience for Daniel. That's just how he's affected by it. Verse 8. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision, I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale and I was helpless. So here's Daniel's roller coaster journey. He's seen this great vision of this war breaking out. He's deeply moved by that. And now he sees a manifestation of God revealing to him the source of this vision, this revelation. Daniel was utterly helpless standing before God. Doesn't this remind us of the importance of Jesus? Jesus as our eternal priest. Because without being made right by Jesus, we would never be able to stand in God's presence. That's one of the roles of Jesus as the eternal priest, is to present us to God as someone with right standing with him. Without that, we'd have absolutely no hope of standing in the presence of God. And without Jesus, this would be our reaction. We'd be flat out on our faces, helpless, riddled with weakness. But because of Jesus, we don't need to dread that day. We can look forward to that day. The gift of grace in Jesus means that we will be able to stand in front of God. We will see him face to face. But for Daniel, at this point, this was an incredibly humbling experience. Verse 12. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to him." But why is Daniel seeing this manifestation of God? What's the purpose of this? Well, simply just to confirm what verse 1 tells us, confirms the truth of the vision. Look at that, halfway through verse 1. Its message was true and it concerned a great war. Daniel is seeing the source of this revelation, this vision, to confirm its truth. God is truth. If something comes from God, it is true and sure to come to pass. And before we think that, or maybe Daniel's having some episode by this river, verse 7 reminds us that other people were there and knew something was happening. Verse 7, "I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves." Not only is the revelation true, we know what Daniel's experiencing was genuine as well. And then lastly, I want to look at the magnitude, the size of what Daniel's seeing. How complex, how vastly arrayed this vision, this revelation is. And what it does is it demonstrates to us that what's happening in life occurs on many, many levels. We see this incredible detail unfold from verse 13. "But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come." What we have here, remember I was talking about last week, we see Revelation. Revelation is the curtains being drawn back on the physical world, the advance of the gospel. What we're seeing here again is the curtains being drawn back. And here we have angels who've come to see Daniel, talking about how they're battling other angels. Verse 13, "But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me." So this is God's angel talking about an angel resisting him. The angels who are resisting God's work are demonic. These are the demons. And this angel, which we assume is Gabriel, coming from it tells us, talks about how another angel, Michael, who we know is the archangel, came to assist him as well. This incredible scene that we see, that behind what we see in the physical realm are these spiritual battles going on This should remind us. This is a great vision of what Daniel might be seeing. But this should remind us of this fantastic passage in 2 Kings 6. Don't be afraid. 2 Kings 6, verse 16. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. So he's talking about the king of Israel, who can only see the physical danger. And they're outnumbered. And Elijah's saying, praying to God, open his eyes so he can see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So this king was given this insight into the spiritual realm, the forces that are behind the physical that we see, of which God is orchestrating all of this. The physical outcomes are what we experience, what we see. But behind that are all sorts of battles going on. But God is orchestrating all of this. God is actively working out his purposes through all facets of his creation. Through his messengers, the angels. And again, when we think about things like that, it might make us think we're even more insignificant. We're even smaller than we thought. We're not privy to these spiritual forces that are happening around us. How little do we know what happens on a day-to-day basis? We only see what's in front of us. And again, it's a bit like watching a film, isn't it? As we watch a film unfold, there might be quite a few characters involved. But slowly the main characters take over. And they become central. And that's what our eyes are gripped on. But the reality is, isn't it? What goes into making a film is enormous. And the amount of people involved behind the scenes. So you've got a whole team of people making a set. And having the cameras all ready to capture the various scenes. And then you have another team of people who edit all the different snippets of film together. And they're not just editing the film together. Of course, they're putting all the music together. And so behind that, you see a great orchestra recording every part of the music that goes into a film. Yet we only see the images all put together. But behind it is a whole wealth of complexity happening. And what do we see? What do we see at the end of a film, girls? What comes up? The credits. To remind us of how much is involved. Yet we normally leave, don't we, before these come up in the cinema? Don't we? Because we're not interested in that. We just want to see the film. Yet behind that, there's all sorts of things happening. And this is what Daniel's realizing. Within this revelation, he's understanding the complexity of the world. How vastly arrayed God's creation is. All the different levels involved. And the full weight of revelation is a huge experience for Daniel. Verse 15. While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face toward the ground and was speechless. The one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I feel very weak. I'm not surprised with everything he's seen. The full weight of revelation. Of course, remember, Daniel has humbled himself. He wanted to understand more. This is what God is doing. And this is where we see that the Lord comforts him. So although Daniel's been deeply affected, spiritually, physically, psychologically, the Lord comforts and strengthens him. Verse 18. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed. Not so insignificant now. He said, peace, be strong now, be strong. When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength. Don't miss this tiny bit of our passage. This is the main thing to take away. We've seen all this incredible stuff unfolding around Daniel. The complexity, the different layers of complexity and order in life. And we've seen how all these things are slowly working within the background, things that we can't see, all working out for God's purposes on so many different levels, of which we only see a snippet of. And as we contemplate things like this, it can make us feel very small and insignificant. And we might feel that we're unworthy to understand these things. We might think that we're utterly ill-equipped to cope with life as we see the curtain pull back and what's involved. And this is how Daniel's feeling. But what we see in verse 18 is that God comforts Daniel. Verse 18, again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed. The fact that God is sharing all this is a measure of how much he cares for his people. He's making them aware of his plans. All this serves to demonstrate God's care for his people. Look at verse 14. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. This is all about God's care for his people. He wants them to know, to understand how complex, how delicate life is. And yet he's got it all in his hand. If God didn't care for his people, then he wouldn't reveal things like this. And we would never feel like we're part of his plans. God wants to share these things with us, just like we would do with our friends. I know the girls sometimes when they've experienced something in the week, they say, "Oh, I can't wait until Sunday to tell Nancy about that." Because you want to share things with your friends, with the people you care about. And this is what God is doing. And as we read this, we're getting a glimpse of what went into God's plans just to redeem us, to save us. All the different aspects, the different levels and complexity of God's world. Angels, people, events, conflicts, the devil, demons, all these things are involved. All these things happen in God's purposes and his plans. All these things, when we put them all together, beyond our understanding, beyond what we can see, yet God holds all of that in the palm of his hand. And he's orchestrating all these things for you. And as a measure of how much he cares for us, he sent his son to die for us. God's plan of salvation was for you and for me. God orchestrated all these different levels of his creation so his purposes would be carried out. And it's through his word that that's revealed to us. All the different levels of God's purposes, his plans, his creation are revealed to us in his word. God didn't see you as insignificant or a tiny detail within his plan that he wasn't concerned about. God deeply cares for each one of you. And he demonstrated that by dying for you, by calling on an army of angels to fight for you, by ordaining events so that you would come to know him. And we have the full revelation of that in his word. Everything that he wanted to tell us has been revealed to us, so that day by day we can slowly understand more. And as we read God's word, as things are revealed to us, it should affect us. It should bowl us over. It should knock us sideways. We should be deeply moved. Not so that we're overwhelmed with it, but so that we're transformed by it. Because as God reveals things to us, the revelation, what he reveals, should change us. That's the purpose of his Bible. The full weight of revelation is given to us in his word. And the beauty of it should convict us of our sin and at the same time fill us with joy of salvation in Jesus by faith. We're not watching a great story or a film unfold and being affected by it emotionally. We're not watching it. God has drawn us into it. We're part of the story of his plan of salvation because Jesus has made you part of it. And the full weight of revelation will change us, will affect us, but for the better and eternal. Let me pray. Lord, we do indeed thank you that we can utterly trust you as God who's got everything in the palm of your hand. And Lord, it can be daunting when we're slowly exposed to the complexity of the world, the different realms, many of which we don't see, and much of which we have little understanding of. But Father, we give you thanks that you have revealed in your word everything that we need to know. And as we read it, Lord, we pray that you would continue to change us by it. Remind us of the grace in Jesus. Remind us that you sent your son to die for us. Remind us, Lord, that as we read it, we're not reading a story unfold in a different world or a different creation, but we're part of that because you've made us part of your plan of salvation, your great story. So, Lord, help us not to feel as if we don't matter. Help us to be reminded that you deeply care for us and we have a huge role to play, each one of us individually, in your plan of salvation, Lord, as you use the people that you've already transformed to draw others in so that they can be transformed and have their life revealed to them in your word too. Amen.